coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
But what that means is that, you know, every phone call, every email, every time you just pick up the phone and say, I just have to vent, you're being charged for that.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Today's topic is Just Gotta Vent, Divorce Attorney Do's and Don'ts to Save Your Wallet and Your Sanity. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So one of the big truths of divorce is that it costs an arm and a leg in many cases. And really often one of the biggest costs is by far attorney's fees. In fact, you know, I was doing some research to get ready for this episode, and the number that kept coming up was the average divorce costs approximately $15,000 to $20,000 just in counsel fees for most of America. But you have to remember that that includes, that's an average, a national average. So that includes the fact that many, many people who go to court, or many cases that go to court, one or both of the parties don't have an attorney, so they're not incurring counsel fees. So that number is actually really skewed.
Plus the hourly rate is so varied all over the country. I mean, some areas average like a $200 an hour, and some average $1,200 an hour. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as a matter of fact, I just was speaking to a new client the other day, and it's a post-dissolution matter, but she was telling me about what had happened during the actual divorce, which took her 4 years to get through, by the way. But in those 4 years, and admittedly, it was a very high net worth case, she spent over $1 million in counsel fees on her side of the fence. So, you know, her husband did as well. Now, that's clearly out of the norm, but really, attorney's fees are one of those things that most people will say very quickly got out of control as their divorce proceeded and got to places that they never anticipated and amounts that they never thought that they'd be spending. And a lot of families, you know, who are facing that situation where they're going from one household into two, it's already a financial stretch. And now they're paying huge attorney's fees on top of that. And a lot of people are just left in great financial difficulty after divorce. And one factor can be the high cost of attorney's fees.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, what happens is the one-upman's thing, you know. So if one person files a motion, then the other person has to respond, and then they feel like they need to file one so that they can kind of stay on top of the other person and be on the offensive and not just be on the defensive. But and that's how it just starts to escalate and get more and more expensive. But the way most divorce attorneys work, and there are some that charge a flat rate, but not very many. And normally, if they do charge a flat rate, it's just for a particular set of tasks, like a maybe an uncontested divorce, just to file the paperwork or whatever. I mean, it's not normally for the entire divorce. And if it is for the entire divorce, then that attorney is probably not, you know, one of the top quality ones. I not to say anything bad about our colleagues or our brethren, but you definitely want to look at, you know, the experience that they have, and and the types of reviews that they may get or referrals they may have from other clients, that sort of thing. But generally, most divorce attorneys charge by the hour. And the, as I said earlier, the rates could vary anywhere from, you know, $200 an hour probably would be on the lowest end to like $1,200 an hour. Here in LA, I know the top divorce attorneys make in the range of $1,200 an hour. So depending on, it really depends on where you live and the experience of the attorney, the complexity of the case, that sort of thing. But then they do usually charge some sort of a retainer. Most of the time, the retainer is refundable, but there may be a part of the retainer that they consider to be non-refundable. You have to look at the retainer agreement, the engagement agreement, and see what the terms are. But a lot of times, then they bill against that retainer, and then they pay themselves from that retainer at the end of the month or however often they do their billing. So that's normally how they charge. But what that means is that, you know, every phone call, every email, every time you just pick up the phone and say, I just have to vent, you're being charged for that. And if they charge in 6-minute increments, even if the phone call is 2 minutes, you're going to be charged for the 6 minutes because that's the shortest amount of time that they bill for. That's the smallest increment. And so what I have found in my practice is that a lot of times people call a lot more in the first month because they don't realize what that looks like. And until they get their first bill, and then they realize, oh, wait a minute, maybe.
I've referenced that before. We always called it invoice therapy because the client would get that first itemized bill that outlined all of the I just want to vent phone calls and would realize that, you know, unfortunately, your attorney has a limited number of hours in the day and they have, you are not the only client that they have. And so their time is spread out. And so when they are spending time on your case, whether it be that I just want to vent phone call, or it's making a phone call to the other attorney, or it's reviewing a pleading or a piece of correspondence that came in on your case, or some discovery that's come in or is going out. I mean, every little step of the way, you are getting billed in those 6 or 10 minute increments for your attorney's time. And you have to think about that, you know, as you're going through it, that adds up very quickly. Very quickly, you know, 6 minutes. And if someone's charging you, say, $400 an hour for their time, very quickly, you're going to see $400 an hour turning into a $1,200 day because they spent, you know, 3 hours on your case at $400 an hour. And a $1,200 day can be a really expensive week. And it's not just the other thing that I think people don't realize is, if you are, say, going to court quite often, that's where I see fees rack up very quickly, when you're trotting off to court every 5 minutes to argue over something.
Right. And that's difficult for people because they don't realize that the only, and I've said this so many times, but it's definitely worth saying again, and that is that the only person who has any power over anybody else is the judge. So your attorney's power is only in filing motions, but that is where I totally agree with you, Susan. It gets very, very expensive.
Well, you're not the only people in that courthouse on that day hoping that a judge is going to have time to hear your case. So, you know, from the attorney's perspective, you probably experienced this, Rebecca. We'd go off on motion practice day, you know, in all the courts I've ever practiced in, motions are heard on certain days of the week. So everybody who has something they want heard is there that day. And it's, you know, I'm out in the hallway. I get to see all my colleagues. I get to talk to other attorneys on cases. But we're waiting. We're waiting for hours in many cases for the judge to have that 15 minutes, 1 hour, or whatever that might be. And your attorney's not working on other cases during that time, so you're getting billed.
Yeah, I mean, your attorney's not sitting on the beach or whatever. So
No.
I mean, they're there for you. So, and then, but even if you didn't have all of that extra time, I mean, just to prepare to go to a hearing, even if it's a simple motion to compel discovery, you have to prepare for it. You have to have copies of the motion, copies of the request to produce, or whatever it is that, you know, was the underlying thing that where you asked for certain discovery. You have to have copies of what was produced and you know, your responses. So you have to have maybe like a little notebook or at least copies of everything and prepare your argument. So, I mean, it takes time. Your lawyer can't just like leave their office and go over there and just say stuff. You have to.
Yeah, we can't wing it. It's not a good practice to just do it on the fly.
Yeah. You know, oh, going off of memory, I think he filed a financial affidavit. Not sure. No, you can't do that. I mean, you know, so you have to prepare. And most of the time, hearings are actually much more substantive than that. So, but going back to the I just want to vent thing. One of the things that I have found to be very helpful for my clients, especially because it is an emotional time and you do want to vent and things are happening very fast and it's a scary, scary time. People are afraid of what's going to be happening. Threats are being hurled across, you know, you'll never see your kids again. You're going to be living on the street, you know, all this stuff. And so it's a natural thing to want to call your attorney a lot and just feel better and have them be that reality check for you.
Or the reassurance. You're looking for reassurance. It's all going to be okay.
Right. And can he actually take my kids or can she actually, you know, throw me out on the street or do I have a right to be in my house? You know, all of those things that come up at the beginning of a divorce. So it is natural and normal. So one of the things that I suggest, and, you know, just some kind of news you can use here for listening to this podcast, is just write down all your questions throughout the day and then set a time to talk to your attorney, maybe once a day or once a week or whatever. And then you know, as you're writing these questions down, that you're going to get them answered. But it that way, it's in a controlled, here are all of them that came up today, or here are all of them that came up this week. And then your attorney can just quickly go through them and answer them for you, rather than, you know, every time something happens or pops into your mind, you're jumping right on the phone.
That's a really good point. I think it also, in doing that, writing it down and looking at those questions, also self-edit. Once you've written those questions down, you know, I had the title of this episode came from one of my favorite clients ever. She was a wonderful person and I loved working with her, but she would call me up all the time and say, Susan, I know, you know, you're my attorney and this is a mental health issue or whatever it is. And I know you can't do anything, but I just want to vent. And so she was willing to pay me, you know, whatever she was paying me to do that. But in the end, if what you are looking for is help with things that are not legal issues, then it may be that some of those questions that you're writing down are better addressed by a different professional. So because attorneys, we can help you with what legally can be done. We can give you legal advice. We can tell you what we've seen people do in the past. We can do all of that. But if it's coming to how to deal with the issues of the separation or depression or things like that, your mental health professional, your therapist is a better person to address some of those questions to. And some of the stuff might be better addressed to your best friend or your, you know, to another person who's not there, you know, to help you in a very specific way. And that's one thing that it's not that we don't want to hear. You know, we're people too. We feel for you. We go through this with people. We've been through it ourselves. Rebecca and I have both done this personally. So we know how hard it is. And while we can commiserate as human beings, it might be better to get help from somebody who can actually give you constructive, you know, advice on that particular issue outside the legal realm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we joke that we wear a lot of hats as, you know, therapist, life coach, and which is fine. I mean, there's certainly, as I've said before, there's this divorce paradox, which is that, you know, during the worst, most emotional, traumatic time of your life, you have to make the most critical decisions of your life. And so there's certainly a valid reason to get your head on straight and be able to make critical decisions and think clearly. And definitely your lawyer is going to be a big part of that. But if you want to save yourself some fees and some headache, you know, maybe direct questions to your therapist or whatever. I actually had a client who had gotten so attached to asking me everything, that when she called me and said, my pipes burst, what should I do? And I said, call a plumber.
Hurry, yeah. Hang up with me and call the plumber.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you know, she was just so used to asking me everything that, you know, even something like that she was asking me. So, you know, just remembering that the lawyer is really there to help guide you through the law piece of the divorce case. And yes, they can help you with other things too, to a certain extent, but, you know, certainly we're not trained as therapists. Not formally, but certainly after all these years, we have some, you know, thoughts about it, which is, you know, some of the stuff that I put in my book, Breaking Free, as well, but, just more so on the job training, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and having been through it ourselves as well.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on Just Got a Vent, Divorce Attorney Do's and Don'ts to Save Your Wallet and Your Sanity.
But when it's this exchange back and forth between you and your ex that's unproductive and is just showing some sort of failure to Biff, if you want to reference back some of our previous Bill Eddy, if you are failing to Biff.
Informative, friendly and firm.
If you're failing to Biff and you're copying me on your back and forth, that's going to start to add up as well.
Susan and I are so excited to announce that we have partnered with our friend, attorney Gabrielle Hartley, best-selling author of Better Apart, The Radically Positive Way to Separate, to create a series of very special divorce retreats called Bi Divorce, Bi for Best You Ever Retreats, which features a stellar list of all-star experts. If you're a woman going through divorce, separation, or still healing from the process, these divorce retreats are for you. You've got to come. We have expert advice, practical tips, inspirational guests. Our very first one is Saturday, May 18th, 2019, from 9:30 to 4 in Los Angeles.
So at this very first retreat, let me just give you a rundown of some of the really exciting guests that we have. You've met many of them on the show. We have Ariel Lori, social media influencer and the creator of the lifestyle brand, The Blonde Files. Jen Giamo, celebrity trainer you've seen on Live with Kelly and Ryan, and she's the creator with Worthy.com of the Fresh Start Fitness Program. Tammy Leader Fuller, the creator of Camp Powerment and an Emmy Award-winning producer of The Today Show. Lily Vasilev, one of the leading divorce financial experts in the country, who you have seen on CNN, MarketWatch, CNBC, and The Street. We have Aaron Levine, the creator of Hello Divorce and one of the bright lights in the world of legal tech. And we're going to do a live podcast taping of Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast, with very special guest, celebrity divorce attorney and the creator of It's Over Easy, Laura Wasser.
And we also want to thank our sponsor for these events, FAIR, F-A-Y-R, the premier co-parenting app. You've met Michael Daniels, the creator of the app, on episode 123. And we are very excited that they are partnering with us for these retreats. Look for additional Bi Divorce retreats coming soon in Chicago, New York, and Naples. But don't miss the very first one right here in Los Angeles.
You can get more information about attending the retreats or becoming a sponsor at buydivorce.com. That's B-Y-E, divorce.com. And be sure to grab your seat quickly at these events because we have very limited availability in all locations. We hope to see you there.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including the five types of people who can ruin your life. Hint, one may be a narcissist, parts one and two.
That's the natural reaction. If you're being attacked, you want to respond to that.
Right. And that's a mistake. Because with high conflict people, now you're in the quicksand with them and you're playing their game, and so they're going to win and you're going to lose.
And now we return to today's show.
You know, I think another area where people sometimes make, you know, the fees run up in a way that they didn't anticipate or they didn't intend is that they make their attorney's job harder than it needs to be, I would say. You know, that always remember, you know, your relationship with your attorney is sort of a partnership. You know, you've hired your attorney, they work for you, but they're sort of driving the bus on how the process works and what needs to be done. And your job as the client, the person going through the process, is to, you know, provide them with the information that they need to move your case forward. I mean, one of the biggest things that slows a case down in almost every case is pulling together the financial information, the discovery phase of the litigation. That can drag out your divorce and run your fees up because it's so time consuming and takes such a long time to get it all pulled together. And then when you have a client who does what one of my clients did, we were getting ready in Connecticut, you need to fill out a form. Most states have something like this. California does as well, but it was in Connecticut. And it's a form called a financial affidavit. And it's a 6 or 7 page document that's your weekly income, your weekly expenses, all of your assets and all of your liabilities. All states probably have something similar.
I think they do.
Yeah. But it is a lengthy document with great detail that requires a calculator, right? And this client walked in with three banker's boxes full of like her paid receipts and her paid invoices and her bank statements.
Oh, I've seen that before too, where
right?
They throw it all in bags or something and then you're supposed to like go through it. I've seen people that they didn't even have them separated out.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're lucky if the client has them in separate, right? I've gotten the shoe boxes full of just like like the little ticker tapes that you get when you go buy something and they give you the receipt at the store.
Throw it all in the same bag or whatever. I mean, yeah.
You know, even if your attorney then passes it on to their paralegal to do, you know, this is another thing to note, people. Look at your retainer agreement. The paralegal is not free. The paralegal also costs you money. So
it's less money. One of my favorites was when a client was asking about the bill one time, and she had spoken to me on the phone and she said, but I asked for your paralegal first and she wasn't available. Then I asked for you. So I should only be billed the paralegal rate.
Yeah. Nope. Not how it works. No, and that's, but, you know, I've had clients who, even though it's very clearly stated in the retainer agreement, even though I very particularly go through the terms of the retainer agreement with all clients, because it's that important, I think every client needs to look at that retainer agreement, understand what it says in there about how you're being charged, because then you can form your behavior and how you handle your interaction with your attorney in accordance with what's going to save you money or time. You know, as an example that we were just talking about with that financial affidavit, do not give your attorney the information and expect them to somehow create that document that then needs to go back and forth to you to proofread, make sure it's correct. You need to understand it. give them a completed document to work from. Take the time, do the effort. Those are your numbers, and you're the one ultimately that's going to sign it under oath.
So, I mean, it's normal to have questions about it. And a lot of times the paralegal can answer questions about it. One of the areas, for example, that I get a lot of questions on with the financial affidavit is this just for me or is this for the whole family? Is this just my income or is this both of our incomes? It kind of depends on the expense as far as whether or not it's just for you or for the whole family. You know, for example, if it's the mortgage payment, you put the whole mortgage payment there. Right. If it's your grooming, then it's just your grooming. So it can be a little bit confusing sometimes. And so it's normal to have questions. And the paralegals usually, especially the experienced seasoned ones, my paralegal has been with me for a long, long time, and she can answer a lot of those questions. But I would just caution about asking the paralegals to give legal advice, because they definitely can't do that. Even if they know the answer, they're not allowed to say.
No, I mean, legal advice should come from your attorney. That's what, you know, that's, hey, we went to school, we took the exams, and we've done it for a long time. That's where, yeah, yes, we've taken those exams.
Yes, we have.
Just recently. So, you know, but those are important things. I mean, I don't know. I've had clients pay thousands of dollars just in attorney's fees, paralegal fees, preparation fees, I'll call it, just to get their financial affidavit pulled together.
Right. And if you consider, because if it takes several hours, then that's thousands of dollars.
Right. And consider that your financial affidavit is not a static document, because your finances, especially in a long drawn out divorce, are going to change, or, you know, things change. So that document needs to be changed as your situation changes. You could end up, just to keep your financial affidavit up to date, if you're not willing to put in some time and effort on that and you just want it all done for you, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars can be spent on just that one document. That's not all that you do in discovery. Then there's pulling together bank statements and credit card statements and, you know, all of the other concomitant things that go along with the discovery. But, you know, we use that as an example so that you can see the more work that you do to be prepared, to be organized, and to your attorney's going to let you know what they need from you. You know, that's part of what your attorney does.
And one of the things, you know, depending on whether or not the attorney has an associate and a paralegal or whatever, is that, you know, the beauty of something like that is that you do get a sort of a blended rate. And attorneys' offices are usually pretty good about, you know, like I, as the partner, I'm not going to sit there and sift through and make sure we got 3 years of credit card statements and what months are missing or whatever. That's a really good task for a paralegal. And so you will get a blended rate. It may be a good idea at the beginning of your relationship with your attorney to just have a conversation about what kinds of questions should I direct to you? What kinds of questions should I direct to the paralegal, or that sort of thing? What I would do as a kind of a general practice is I asked my clients to always copy my paralegal on every email they ever sent me. And that way I wouldn't bill for it if I knew it was something the paralegal could answer, but I would at least know what's going on in the case. And then if the paralegal would answer it, then she would bill for it. Or if they're, you know, asking for legal advice, what happens next or what direction should we take the case in or something like that, then I'll jump in and answer. Or my paralegal might say, I'm going to let Rebecca answer that question. That's not something that I should answer for you or whatever. So that will also kind of help to reduce the fees as well.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that about copying your paralegal on all the correspondence to you. Another thing that I have found clients do, and this happens in every case, is they'll get into a snarky exchange with their ex and they'll start copying me, their attorney, on every back and forth. Yes. And you know what? When you're sending me that many emails that you're doing back and forth with your ex and I'm having to read them, you know what's happening? You're getting billed for my time. Because you're sending me things. I don't know whether it's something I need to be reading, if it's important information. You've copied me on it. I need to read it. I have an obligation to know what you're sending me. But when it's this exchange back and forth between you and your ex that's unproductive and is just showing some sort of failure to Biff, if you want to reference back some of our previous Bill Eddy, if you are failing to Biff,
informative, friendly and firm.
If you're failing to Biff and you're copying me on your back and forth, that's going to start to add up as well. You need to use discretion on where your attorney needs to be involved. If there's a series of email exchanges that are relevant to a factual matter that's a part of your case or is something, absolutely, that is something that you should be providing that information to your attorney. But the two of you arguing over whether Timmy did his homework or not, or, you know, took his books with him to school or something, is probably not, unless it pertains to a relevant legal issue, not something you need to copy your attorney on.
Yeah, exactly. And that actually brings up a good point. One of the things that I had a client do one time, the case had been going on for 2 years. Her husband was just, you know, incorrigible, a very difficult personality, one of those high conflict personalities that we've had experts on our show talk about, like Bill Eddy and Megan Hunter, if you want to go back and listen to those episodes on how to deal with them. But she called me up and she was like, "Can you believe he did this, this, and this this morning?" That was one of those just got event calls. Yeah. And I said, yes, I can. What I can't believe is that you can't believe it, because you've lived with him for 20 years. I've only been on the other side of this case for 2.
Yeah.
So expect that people are going to be who they are, and don't be surprised when they are.
Yeah. I mean, the better thing to do is to stop focusing so much on what they're doing and focusing on getting through the process and moving forward. And you know, I say this to everyone, make the divorce a finite period of time. Do not dwell in that limbo place, because until you can conclude your action and move forward, your life just is in this, like, you know, static place. One of the other things that I think everyone should consider, you've heard Rebecca and I talk about this. Obviously, it's something near and dear to our hearts, but, you know, you don't need to lawyer up and go through the adversarial litigation process in the first place. You can mediate your divorce. You can, you know, if costs are an issue, or if you just don't want to go down that adversarial path, you can work with a mediator. You're going to go through the same issues. You're going to have the legal basis to make your decisions. And in fact, one way to cut back on attorney's fees is if you're mediating, doesn't mean you still cannot have, and in fact, most people do have a consulting attorney that they work with during the mediation process. So you're fully supported with the law, you're fully supported with legal advice, but you're paying for it on an as-needed basis. And it's not in that, you know, all-inclusive, your attorney doing every single solitary step of the way. So I really do encourage people to consider mediation and working with a consulting attorney. And I think you're going to find all, you know, Rebecca and I and Breaking Free Mediation, we encourage people, and we have a list of mediation-friendly consulting attorneys who are there fully to support you as you go through that process. And I think that's very important for people to understand. Mediation does not mean lacking in an attorney to advise you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that's kind of a newer field, but both Susan and I have been doing this for the last couple of years, and for even some of our listeners, very successfully, and that is divorce coaching. And so that's where we actually just kind of coach you around the divorce process. We can't give you specific legal advice, but we do coach you on maybe directions to go and some strategy and some ideas to consider and that sort of thing. And that can also help with reducing fees.
Yeah. You know, the thing about that is you have to remember Rebecca and I have been involved in divorces as litigators, as mediators. We've been doing this for, you know, decades between the two of us. And, you know, doing legal coaching is a way for clients to get the benefit of our many, many years of knowledge of doing this, of negotiating these settlements, of just working through the process. We don't charge the same hourly rate we were charging as litigators, but you can still get the benefit of all of that knowledge, all of that that understanding. You know, another thing I want to mention for people, Rebecca, is your program, because I think that that is a really fantastic resource for people. Why don't you tell people about that?
Thank you. It's a Delete All Control program. And if you go to my website, Rebecca Zung, RebeccaZung.com, it's right on there. And you can, there's tons and tons of information in there. There are videos. You can watch them in the privacy of your own home. You don't have to download them or just you watch them. They're available to you forever. And I have different phases, you know, 30 to 90 days before the divorce starts, and then what happens when the divorce starts, and then you can choose a module like when you're getting ready to mediate, what you should be doing for that. And it's certainly way, way more cost effective. So you can check that out. I also want to mention that we are going to be doing a series of divorce retreats all around the country. Our first one will be in Los Angeles on May 18th. We have a stellar all-star group of people, including Ariel Lori and Laura Wasser. And we're going to be doing a live podcast. Susan and I will be interviewing Laura Wasser, and it will be live and people can call in or be there. Not call in, but they can be there and answer, and we'll answer any questions. You'll be able to ask us anything you want.
That could be dangerous, but it'll be interesting.
It'll be fun. And we've got Tammy Leader Fuller, who's the former executive or former producer of the Today Show. And we have Lily Vasilev and Aaron Levine and Jen Giamo, who we've had on the show.
Judy Herbst from Worthy.
Oh, yes. They're going to be doing their dating survey, revealing their dating survey results. We have Gabrielle Hartley, who's been on our show. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm so happy. If people want more information on that, you can go to our Breaking Free Mediation website. There's a page all about the retreat, breakingfreemediation.com.
And the retreat's called Buy Divorce, Best You Ever.
Yeah. Buy Divorce. You know.
Bye-bye.
And I love that you mentioned Erin, because she's going to be appearing on a show on the podcast shortly, I think even before the retreat on May 18th. And that's another way I just want people to be aware that there's new tech out there as well that can help you to reduce your attorney's fees. So back to our theme of how to, you know, not impact your wallet negatively during the divorce. Erin has created a service in California called Hello Divorce, which helps you with either low-cost legal assistance through the website and with filling out the forms, filing everything, because that can be, you know, a hugely complicated matter. And she's also about to drop her app, which is going to help people literally through your phone navigate the difficulties of the divorce process. She's going to tell us more about the app and about Hello Divorce shortly in the next coming week. So be looking out for that episode. We're very excited to have her.
And I just want to make sure I give a shout out to our sponsors who are also former guests from the show, which are FAIR, the amazing co-parenting app. Michael Daniels was a guest on our show, and also Stanley Pastorian Hill. Nevin Stanley was our amazing guest on finding hidden assets and income. So thank you to our sponsors.
Absolutely. We're very excited about the retreats. The LA retreat will be the first of many and will be around the country. So keep an eye out and an ear out, because we'll be talking about them on the show. But, you know, I think in the end, one of the main messages we want to get across to you today about your attorney's fees and about controlling them is that much of that lies in your hands. It's in your control. And I know that flies in the face of how many people feel. We hear it all the time from people. They feel like the attorney's fees got out of control, and they can. And some of the things you don't have, you know, the ultimate control over, but you do have control about how you work with your attorney and how you choose to go through the process, you know, stepping back from even how you, you know, choose to work with your attorney. Choose a process. You think about mediation and think about different ways that you can manage the process so that it isn't financially ruinous.
Agreed.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.